This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 289 of the Countdown Podcast, or as I like to call it, two middle-aged bitches talking about moving pictures. My name is Wayne!
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. Today, if you're new to the show, sorry.
Yeah, this is not a good entry point for the show if you don't know who we are. But
not a good jumping on point, but we wanted to have a little fun. We have some big episodes planned in the next month, and this is just a little, not to say it's not important, just that it's this is one for you long-term listeners to the show.
Yeah, you know the X-Files? So they used to have these episodes that pushed the story along, but then they had these frivolous little episodes in between to make it. This is one of those.
Yeah, that works. I think that works just fine. And what are we talking about, Wayne?
We haven't come up with a formal title for this, but the idea is
Top 10 Films
My Co-Host Hated?
Yeah, that my co-host hates.
Okay, I'm sure I can fit that in somewhere.
Top 10 films I love, my co-host hates.
Yes.
And to say that this created a bit of a furor on Twitter, this topic,
really?
Would be an understatement.
Really?
Yeah. So I put out the tweet out very late, and I invited all podcast duos or more, and we had quite the bit of feedback, a ridiculous amount. I suspect that we might spend a little bit longer on that at the end, because there were some very funny replies, as well as some incredible films. I can't believe we're contentious between podcasts.
Really?
Yeah, things that just, to my mind, seem either really, really great or really, really shit. But that's the whole point, right?
That's always the way, exactly.
That is film appreciation / love in a nutshell. Now, no recount today.
Right.
Last week's top 10, last 10. No competition between you and I. You continue to lead 14-12-1. And again, if you're new to the show, you don't understand what that means. But stick around.
Yes, and just know that we love you and we can go right into the countdown.
Thank you so much. And let's get into it on the other side of this. Top 10 films I love that my co-host hates is the subject of this week's countdown. It's pretty straightforward. The brief is not fuckable up by either of us.
It's not
and
fuckable
by
up.
By either of us, I mean this is by you.
Well, let me say something here, Paulie, because it's one thing for me to say, oh, I remember Paul liked this one. Sorry, Paul hated this one, but I liked it.
Yep.
Now, that's fine. They're in here, okay? There's a big sort of like...
How do you order it?
I ordered it in my head, and again, we don't see eye to eye on this non-linear shit, but basically, if the disparity between us was larger, as in I loved it, but you hated it, it's probably higher on the list.
Whereas
if
I was more outraged.
If you didn't mind it, and I kind of liked it, or whatever, you know.
I did have that little factor in, but the more outraged I was, the higher I put them.
That's
up.
Actually better, and I've got an extra element with mine, because as the listeners know, many of my choices are reviled by lots of people, not just Paul. So, like,
but
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Now, that wasn't Wayne live.
Yes, sorry.
You may be shocked to hear if you're new to the show.
Yeah, Paul for some reason thinks that's funny. Anyway.
Eat all the S's, man.
No one knows who's... Fuck you.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, whatever.
And everyone thinks it's very funny.
No, no one thinks
except so. You and, like, one other person in the world. Like,
all of the other people. Go on.
All right, so the other thing I should emphasize... That the soundboard will get a real working over this episode. It's undoubted.
Oh, fuck off!
Because you're going to say things that are going to re-incense me. And you're going
to
be
outlandish. That doesn't mean you should just give over to fucking poor taste. Bitch, please.
There you go.
All right. Okay, fine. Thanks for the warning. I'll be flipping you off all show.
I'm sure you will. All right, then. So, shall I begin today?
Yeah, why don't you start?
My number 10 film that I loved that my co-host hated inexplicably, and a number of these are from the era of the show.
We'll just talk it out, yeah.
Now, I want to give a... I'm going to give it an early honorable mention, okay, to a film called Free Jack. Because Wayne made the mistake. This is not my number 10. This is my 11, let's say.
Yeah.
Wayne made the mistake of saying, this is the biggest piece of shit ever when we were like 17.
Emilio Estevez, Mick Jagger. All right.
Yeah,
thought it was a bag of shit.
Outstanding acting debut. And I went in thinking, well, this is going to be really shit. And I was like, oh, it was a mildly entertaining sci-fi thriller.
That has happened so many times to us. All right. So this should be an interesting list.
So that's where that one falls. Now, my number 10, though, is In the Era of the Show. And we did review it. And you inexplicably hated it, though fairly criticized some elements of the final act.
See, that's how I was going to go. Yes, please.
Which I do understand and can't defend, or nor will I, because I'm talking about Jordan Peele's sophomore effort, Us.
Fucking piece of shit. Fucking piece of shit. Just balls. And I was trying to like this too because I liked Get Out. And I'm like, yeah, baby, let's go. And then like halfway through, I'm like, yeah, this is shit.
Halfway? Really?
I reckon. Well, what?
I don't get it because halfway through, I thought this film was excellent.
It meandered. I remember thinking to myself, why am I not enjoying this the same way I enjoyed Get Out? It was something was missing, man. This is like, if Get Out is a 10, it's not. Let's say this. It's like, Get Out's a 10. This is like fucking 6, man.
Well, that's not hating something. You're making it sound like I would give this 3.5 stars, this film, but the way I think you rated it, it's like a 2-star.
No, I did not
memory.
Like it. I did not. I actually
so it's a 4
like
out of 10.
Oh, whatever. I don't know how you. I don't know numbers, Paul. All right.
Don't do maths and logic
with
me.
I'm saying it's like 60% as good as Get Out.
Basically, you start doing maths with Wayne, and in his head, he hears.
That is exactly how it is. But yes, sorry. But
well, I think it was thrilling. It was edgy as shit when they start getting attacked and you know people start getting off left, right, and center. Look, it does go a little off the rails towards the end when you know the whole master plan of the overall people, whatever is revealed. We'll stay vague for the spoiler's sake.
I think it was some element of the execution of the film. I found it tedious in places that I shouldn't have. And again, I had a lot of expectations after Get Out.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So there's a bit of that going on.
You were
on.
Punished by your expectations.
It's probably better than I thought it was, but I remember going, I don't like this. And I talked to some other woman who saw it, and she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't like that either. Oh, so we, you know, furthered my resolve. So I get it. I know you're a horror man. This is understandable. Sure.
That's my 10.
My number 10 is equally the, like, so if horror is your thing, then comedy's mine.
Yep.
All right. Now, this one's great because, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's the best movie ever, but the Paul disliked it so much that it's like celebrated in my head. Baywatch.
Oh, fuck
Baywatch. You like to suck my butt.
Oh, people. Baywatch has
The
Rock.
I should have run my finger over the entire fucking soundboard.
Baywatch has The Rock.
Oh, this is your 10. There's no way the other 9 are worse than this.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. Dwayne Johnson, Zac Efron, Alexandra Daddario's chest. Now, if we
the views of Wayne Aruzu do not reflect the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
Everyone, I'll just tell you. All right, so Mitch Buchanan is played by The Rock, and he's like butts head with this like brash new recruit Zac Efron, who's a disgraced Olympic swimmer. He's trying to find redemption. Doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't fucking matter because this is one of those comedies that is just straight from the movies. Here we go. Let's give it a try.
It doesn't matter. I'm glad you really set that up again.
Well, I remember like look, and not all of the gags fell, but I remember like.
I remember, that was the funniest gag in the film.
No, I remember quite like giggling at like the balls part at the beginning, and then there was like sort of some self-aware.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat fuck.
Towards the end, Pamela Anderson actually appears in slow motion while everyone else is normal motion, and they make comment on it. These are put this wrong. It's no Adam Sandler movie, all right? It's not a piece of shit like that, right? The gags they have, like you know, there's obviously a bit of budget and that sort of thing. I did not mind it. Now, Paul. Absolutely hated it. He just hated the shit
worst
out of
film
it.
Without you.
And we
or
saw
second worst, can't remember.
I saw it at one of those odd like advanced screenings.
We saw it at the odd.
No, you and I saw it differently because I went there to the advanced media screening at you. For, were you there? You.
Yeah, Carousel.
Where they had the live
Carousel.
Oh yeah, you were there. Sorry,
the live cross to
the live cross to the
and,
to the
and
red
it didn't
carpet
work
in LA.
They were running late.
They fucked up.
It wasn't in LA. It was in Sydney.
Sydney. That's right. Yeah. In the Sydney thing, and they had all the real actors there and shit. And even The Rock addressed us in the cinema.
Yep.
So it was kind of interesting. Should have helped it out.
Didn't.
Didn't. According to Paul, did not help it out. Might have helped me out, though. So.
In fact, if I remember correctly, I went out to get my frozen Coke at the time that crossover happened, came back, and I'm like, yep, anyway, let's get on with it.
Funny story, The Rock, when he addresses all of Australia through this like virtual thing, he starts with, what's up, motherfuckers? That's what he said, right? And I think because he
Wayne instantly went plus two.
Well,
or plus 20.
Well, I thought it was quite funny, and he obviously was pandering to the Aussie cussing audience, i.e. me. So there you are.
It was also pretty fun. There's lots of kids in that.
There were, I know. There was kids in there. I'm like, okay.
See the rep going, oh, I didn't see that whole bit, but you told me about it.
Oh, it was great. It's great.
Yeah, that's an appalling choice.
Yeah,
actually,
fantastic.
No, it's an excellent choice for this list.
There you go, son.
Very appropriate, but again, I'm stunned that it's so low at number 10.
Maybe I should have bumped it up.
One of the unfunniest piece of shit films I've ever seen. Number 9 is a film which I don't understand why you don't like it, but it's kind of a film which was a low-key release. It didn't have a lot of fanfare or the like, but I was really enthralled. We saw this one separately, so I was genuinely shocked when we reviewed it on the show.
What can this be?
A couple of years back, and you just ragged on it.
Yeah.
It's Bad Times at the El Royale.
Ah, yes. Now, let's talk about this one, all right? Because think of the factors here, people. We have John Hamm, who I want to bone. what? It looked like a really cool trailer. Chris Hemsworth, bone, bone, bone. You know, there's probably...
Oddly enough, the film's not about your sexual fantasies.
Jeff Bridges probably get a load too. That's not the point. But like, okay, so we have this cast that I like, right?
Directed by Drew Goddard.
Who's that?
He's a guy who worked on Buffy. He wrote Cabin in the Woods. He might have directed Cabin in the Woods, actually, now that I think about it.
Not bad. And to be fair, this did actually, it was directed well. All right, it was directed amazing. There's some shots at the beginning and the end. There's some very long tracking shots. You know we love those.
We do.
All right, but, and not to spoil it, and I won't spoil it, but there are certain developments that happen in it which I didn't like. And then I remember thinking to myself, this is now dragging.
It was a little long, but it was really entertaining for me. Did you? And I was really on board in terms of how this is going to play out, particularly in the climactic act, which
now,
is
I can't remember
very
how,
tense.
I can't remember how it ended. So, were you satisfied with the ending, whatever it was?
Yep.
Okay. I mustn't have been. I think that's what happened.
This is a 75-ish film for me. From vague memory, you gave it like 35.
Yeah, you're a real shit. Like,
yep, you really ragged on it. You kept saying...
It did something to really piss me off. And I think that was to do with, one, the pacing, and two, one of the plot developments where I'm like, that doesn't work out. So anyway, yeah. I didn't like it. This is one of those times you see a movie that you know is pretty actually good, but something ruined it for you. Yeah. That's what it was.
And it basically set in 69. It follows a bunch of disparate characters that come to this hotel, which straddles the line between, I can't remember if it's Nebraska, a couple of American states. That's really relatively unimportant. It's about how they interact and why they're interacting. So
yeah, that's right. I think I renamed it Boring Times at the El Cinema.
Well,
that's
on
great.
That's a genuine comedy.
That's a great joke.
We can now hear Wayne's number 9.
Fine. My number 9 is a movie that Paul, I think it's a little the same way where you think it has some merit, but there's a certain thing that really shut you to tears. The movie is Ad Astra.
Yeah, I didn't hate this one.
Okay, you didn't hate this one. So, but I really liked it. And I actually kind of, here's the thing though. I wasn't surprised that Paul thought it was a bit this, because it's a very long, slow-moving movie.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why it was weird to me that I liked it. So Brad Pitt plays astronaut Roy McBride, and he's cool as fuck in terms of his, like, never freaks out or anything. Travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his missing father and unravel a mystery that threatens essentially the survival of our planet. Okay? Now, as I recall, I was sitting there liking things like the wardrobe, this thing, Brad Pitt.
What, so you're down on astronaut suits, are you?
No, he had a green military dress outfit, which was the perfect color green, and the actual style of the collar and everything really got me. And I was like, that is beautiful.
Wow.
I know.
Isn't it important the way that you come to this show for the really, really integral parts
of a film? If you think about it, I enjoyed the set design and the fucking, like, the wardrobe and stuff. So
did you enjoy Space Monkeys?
I did. Space Monkeys were great. This is the problem we had, everyone, okay? First of all, there's a scene in, like, the movie.
Don't spoil it too much.
Okay, it's draggy, but then there's a scene where it's sort of a car chase on the moon, all right? And Paul had
comes out of nowhere.
It does come out of nowhere, but guess what? It's exactly what it needed, a shot in the arm, because it was getting a bit fucking mopey for a while, and then all of a sudden I got some action. Cool. Then Space Monkeys turn up, like Paul says. Also action, and a little horror-y, if I'm not mistaken.
Laws of physics in this film doth not apply.
Well, now, director
Despite
James...
Despite the fact the director thinks this is the most technically accurate space film ever made.
Hey, I'm on
James,
board.
James, stop smoking your own stash.
Listen, if you can't jump off a spinny thing and catapult through space onto the... I mean, Brad Pitt could do it.
This film was so dumb.
Do you know what? James Gray said to Empire Magazine that he had to compromise with...
Did I say James Mangold? Sorry, I mean James Gray.
Yeah, he had to compromise with the studio on the ending of the movie to get the film greenlit. And even with a star like Brad Pitt on board, they struggled for years to get it made. You obviously can understand why.
Yep.
I inexplicably like the movie because it should have everything I don't like in it.
Yeah.
But something happened. And most people out there agree with Paul, right?
No, I think this has its fair whack of defenders.
My cousin Ash is like, this movie fucking blows. Like, there you go. So, yeah, 9 Ad Astra. I get it.
Oh, fair enough.
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
My number 8, moving right along, is a film which also falls into the category of Wayne got really bored and couldn't stand it. It's Martin Scorsese's triumphant return to the gangster genre. It's one of my favorite films from last year. It's The Irishman.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you, man?
Basically following the guy who has claimed to have killed Jimmy Hoffa and the relationship he had with Jimmy Hoffa as part of Al Pacino. This is Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. Joe Pesci, of course, is in this film as well. And yeah, it's uber long.
It's so long. It was 7 hours, yes? 7 or 8 hours.
It was 209
minutes. It was two days.
Now, Wayne, I know penis envy aside for too long, right?
Please go on.
Other than that, did you not appreciate the craftsmanship? Did you not appreciate how well this film was put together? Did you not appreciate the acting, how good Joe Pesci is in particular?
Yes, I did, Paul. But here's what happened with this movie, and here's what happened with you and me in this movie, okay? You made an astute observation to say that in the movie, spoilers, not really, who cares, it's too long, you'll forget. Bobby De Niro ends up whacking one of the characters because that character had a closer relationship with Robert De Niro's daughter than Robert De Niro did. And it was a good call by you that it was sort of out of... because that character probably could have benefited from not whacking that person.
Well, it also...
but he did because he was jealous. And it was an interesting call from Paul. And I said, good one. Still didn't save the movie for me though, see? So, yes...
I don't think that was the reason he did it. If he didn't do it, he would have been killed. Like, if you don't follow an order, you're going down for it. But... I think it was what enabled him to do it and live with himself.
Yeah, good call. Okay, now look, don't get me wrong. Those intricacies and sort of depth in characters and stuff is what make Martin Scorsese movies good, as well as the handling of everything, right?
The technical aspects of the film.
Yes.
Other than, and I will acknowledge, the CGI, it's not there yet. Stop trying.
Okay, let's talk about that. Yeah, the CGI was so bad when they youngified people that it just didn't work out. Well, now, look, that's fine. It's not great. It happens.
But
you know?
What's particularly wrong, and it's the same even with Marvel, which I think Marvel's got the patent on the best version of this technology at the moment, right?
No two ways.
Largely because it doesn't spend the whole film doing it. Like, it's bit pieces.
Except
at time.
Captain Marvel, where Sam Jackson was there the whole time.
Yeah, true. But even then, wonder what his screen time would amount to. It's not like on that 2 hour, 10
minute Clark
film.
Even Clark Gregg was young. You know what I mean?
Clark Gregg didn't look so good. It felt like they put all the money into Sam Jackson. Or Sam Jackson just has a natural face, which is very easy. Because he's a young looking dude, 40 years, 71 years old.
Also black, don't crack.
That's true.
So, yeah.
That helps. But... I don't know what it is. It just doesn't work as well as it
should.
No,
it doesn't. And you mentioned it. It's because Robert De Niro has the physiology and the movement of an old man.
The same with Samuel Jackson. When you watch him run through Captain Marvel, he runs like an old man.
That's true.
Right? So that you can't change the physicality of movements. Anyway, we're getting off the track here. But I really enjoy The Irishman. It is a meditation. It is. I just think when you look at it from the lens of here is an aging director with his aging cohort of stars had... and they're reflecting back on their lives as well as what's happening in this film. Through the film, that's a better way of putting it. It adds that layer that I really feel like it elevates it over the top from being a good film to a great one.
You know what it is? I kind of agree with pretty much what you're saying, but I think for me...
Hand over the soundboard?
No, for me, once you bore me, you lost me. Just like when if I feel like I bore someone and they walk away, I'm like, fair enough. I bored you. That's why I can't stand.
Speaking of that, I'm going to get a beer.
Okay. And now we're back from Paul's beer journey. Okay.
I think we're over to you for your eight.
We are. My number eight is a movie that Paul, I believe, dislikes because he has a moral quandary with the movie or issue. Whereas the movie itself I found quite enjoyable. It's called Passengers.
Passengers. Fuck this.
Now, everyone, Passengers has Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, and Michael Sheen in it, and it's about this spaceship called Starship Avalon, and it has Yes, it is.
It's about lying to get laid.
Yes, and so you can see why maybe I got to it and Paul didn't. It's got this spaceship that the people are all on. It's a 120-year voyage to a distant colony, known as like a homestead colony, and it's transporting thousands of people in hypersleep to this thing for that 120-year voyage. Unfortunately, Chris Pratt, some shit goes wrong and his pod opens and he's like, what the hell? I'm here alone among all these sleeping people for the next 90 years. He can't rehibernate himself, so he resigns himself to not living to see the end of the voyage. But then out of loneliness, he dehibernates the hottest woman on the planet, Jennifer Lawrence. I know. Now, Paul has a problem with this. I have a problem with this, okay? But does that let me, not like the film? It does not. Here's what happens in the movie.
Well,
after
that point, I'm out.
No, I'm not done. Out.
I don't want anything to do with this guy. Fuck him.
Here's what he did. He actually does own up to it and everything. He says, look, I got to tell her.
Eventually. But
I know.
Nevertheless, dumb.
Okay, but here's what the nice part of the film is, okay? Apart from the fact that she is a higher level, like her rank or whatever is higher level, she can actually get food that he has not got access to. So she gets it for him and shit like that in the ships. Beep, 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 fucking... beam me money, beat me money, yeah, shit thing. Their relationship kind of evolves and it goes through and then he tells her and they have the moment and then it's this and it's that. But the ending of the movie is very uplifting. It actually basically in it is because they actually create a nature on that ship, and when people finally wake up, they're like, "Oh my god, trees and shit."
Andy Garcia has a 3-second cameo, which clearly was cut right down.
Yeah, I remember that now. That's right, it was at the end. But look, I really liked this film, and I think
I don't understand why.
I've heard from the listeners, some of the listeners, is like, they fucking love this movie. Right?
I'm sure there's plenty of people that love it. But it was on, from vague memory, it was on the blacklist on the hottest scripts that haven't been produced in Hollywood for a while. I don't understand.
Really?
Yeah. Like this film, you're right. It's the moral issue I have with it. It once that happened, I'm out.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing. Paul's a good man.
Sometimes.
I'm not that good.
Vindication.
Well, I think they actually called out on the show. They said to Chris Pratt. It's like, oh, of course you woke her up. She's fucking tight. So you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you woke up some fatty. So it's like, there you go. That's how the movie's about.
Moving right along.
Anyway,
my number 7 is a very recently reviewed film from this year, in fact, and I knew as I was watching it, which I enjoyed. Like, Wayne's gonna fucking hate this one.
What?
Because for whatever reason, Wayne and Spike Lee
don't
gel.
We don't.
And I'm talking about Da 5 Bloods.
That's shit. That's a shit.
It's not a shit film.
It's a shit film.
It's a very good film with some weird moments.
You know what? It had some good moments, but it had more shit moments, and it fucked up the movie because someone does not know. Well, I'm not. Let's just not say this. There was some fucking low rent moments in this shit. There's some on the nose fucking decisions getting made, and it fucked shit up.
Wayne
for me.
Can't get on board with the fact that there are characters who just glide through a club.
Everyone, what happens in a movie where there's four, I don't know, 70-year-old motherfuckers, right? And for some reason, the shot it's in a fucking nightclub in Vietnam, right? And the shot is pulling backwards, racking backwards, as four dudes pretty much cut across the dance floor making dumb old men Bill Cosby looking fucking dance moves.
Oh, wait, oh, oh.
Oh, it's like the beginning of the Cosby Show. It's like, that's what it looked like. And I'm like, what is this? That shot seemed to last for minutes. Paul tells me it was seconds. Seemed like minutes.
What? No.
And there's lots of little bullshit things like that through the movie, which pissed me off more and more and more and more. And then I'm like, you know what? And even if you listen to the review that we did, Paul thinks he likes it, but I don't think he actually does. He actually agrees with most of the shit I say. And I'm like, yeah, I think this guy's got white guilt. That's what's happening. He's like, I gotta like this. I got it. I'm brown, Paul.
I did like it. I did like it. I especially like the back and forth. I think Dora Lindo's performance is stellar. And it basically follows a small group of veterans who returned to Vietnam after the Vietnam War in modern times, looking for a bunch of gold that was buried, that they helped bury during the war. They lost their commanding officer at the time, played by Chadwick Boseman. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
Do you remember? I remember, when I saw it, I was like, wow, Chadwick has lost a lot of weight. And now we know why. Yep. But at the time, I was like, maybe he's cutting up or he's doing a Running Man movie or something. It's so horrible. Anyway.
Yeah, terrible, terrible stuff. And I think it adds a bit of poignancy to the film after the fact as well.
Yeah.
But look, that's not a reason to say it's a good film or not.
No.
But anyway, it takes some stylistic directions I don't particularly love.
Agreed.
But overall, I think the film itself is good. And the sequences, if I could have an editor of this film myself and chop out about 15 minutes, I would fucking love this movie. That's a very pretentious thing to say.
Make it 25 minutes.
But that aside, performances alone are enough. Some of the, call them action sequences.
Yeah, the problems are with the directing and not the performances.
Yeah, and I think the script, again, other than some of the heavy handedness on some aspects, is also very good. So that's why I like Da 5 Bloods and don't understand why you are so negative on it.
Give it another try, Paul. We'll see. All right. My number 7, I'm basically just happy to start talking about because Paul really hates this movie. And I wouldn't say, again, I love it, but I love how much he hates it. It's Robin Hood.
Oh.
What the hell? No!
Now, everyone, Robin Hood is a one with... It's got Taron Egerton, Jamie Foxx, and Ben Mendelsohn in it.
It's got syphilis. That's what this film is.
It's a retelling, of course, of the Robin Hood story. Paul, of course, would think this is superfluous. I understand. Robin of Locksley is living in Nottingham. He enjoys a good life with his babe, Marian. But then he gets drafted to the fucking Crusades. After 4 years, he comes back. The sheriff...
He has crossbow bolt machine guns.
Yes. Now, this is what happened, everyone. not only is the sheriff like declared him dead and taken all of his wealth and whatever, because he's a fucking lord, right? He then ends up to fucking like, and he kind of leads this revolt and starts stealing money from the rich to give to the poor, to the cause, and that sort of thing. So it's all that. But what Paul had a problem with was...
Among many things.
So first of all, I enjoy the idea of flying through the air and shooting arrows and shit. So this is always going to be a little bit mine, you know?
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Not at all. But there is a moment where... where there are two towers and they have these, they've a turret gun thing which fires arrows with such velocity that it will take out brick structures. And it goes, and this, and it's machine guns against these dudes who only have bows and arrows. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for realism. I am looking for excitement. I think the idea of getting machine gun crossbow fucking bolts that are apparently made of titanium and fucking have some velocity. Because it made the scene good. Like, they couldn't even hide him. It was great. I was like, oh, look at that shit. That's fine. And again, he does jump off a roof, fire an arrow at someone, and take him out before stealing all the money. Really good. again, I'm not recommending this film, but I had a good time. Paul had an actively bad time.
Yeah, I think this time the reviewers are totally on my side. This is a pan.
Yeah, most people shout on this.
Everyone hates this movie. I don't understand your... enjoyment of it. I think it was my number two worst film of last year.
Yeah, that's the thing. He really fucking hated it.
It's so bad. It's kind of watching a slow-mo car wreck, this movie, for me.
No, normal motion.
Every decision they make is fucking terrible. There's not a redeeming feature
about it. The only thing I will say to you is that, so this idea that Taron Egerton is this sort of leading man of a Robin Hood nature, I don't quite see it. I barely saw it in Kingsman.
Kingsman.
Yeah. But hey, good for him. You know, get some work there, bro.
Yeah. All right. Here's where we get personal. My number six is one of the finest dumb action films you'll ever see.
Oh, what is it?
It's
what
directed by a household name, Michael Davis, and it stars Paul Giamatti's a bad guy. Clive Owen is a good guy. I'm talking about 2007's Shoot 'Em Up.
Okay, first of all, tell us what the movie's about, Paul. Then I'll fucking tell you why you're wrong.
Mrs. Smith delivers a woman's baby during a shootout and is then called upon to protect the newborn from the army of gunmen. That's it.
That literally is all it is.
Monica Bellucci's in it, and Clive Owen bangs her while killing many men.
Yes.
That scene alone is worth the price of your admission.
That scene sucked. Clive Owen is putting a look. So he's banging her, and he's throwing her around the room while he's still inside her and shooting motherfuckers.
And then they orgasm when he kills the last one.
Oh, so bad. Yes. It's so bad. Yes. All right, it's such shit. And also, I love Paul Giamatti, but even in this, he's like, this is shit. He couldn't save it. Yo, everyone, this movie here is one of those times where I saw a movie and I hated it, and I told Paul, this is the worst movie you've ever seen. Of course, he then loves it.
Yep.
And if I had not said that, he wouldn't have liked it so much.
Maybe not.
I guarantee you.
Context is everything.
Absolutely. As important as content. No doubt, boo. So here it is, right? Clive Owen... apart from all the ridiculous action shit that's in here, need I remind you, Paul, that Clive Owen's little character device is that he's always eating a fucking carrot.
Doesn't he stab someone with a carrot?
Paul yes! Yes, he takes a carrot and sticks it through someone's head as though it was a fucking shank. It's a carrot! If I stuck it in the head with a carrot, it would just break and bounce off. You wouldn't even be angry. This is bullshit now. And it wasn't even in the soft part of his head. It was in his fucking forehead or something. It was ridiculous, man. I just couldn't. I actually was out. Was that something? I'm out.
Not highbrow entertainment, I will totally acknowledge. However, it is fun as fuck.
Shit.
And I want to now quote to you a line of dialogue from this film. Fuck you fucking fuckers.
Yes, that's right.
How does Wayne not like this movie? It makes no sense.
Listen up. You can't just cuss and call yourself funny, okay? You got to put English on it, man. You got to have fucking finesse. You got to have a little fucking character.
English, this motherfucker. This is bullshit. Do you speak it?
Good one, though.
Thank Fair you. Enough. All right. Over to you. That may have been too low, but I was trying to find the difference between outrage and good film, and this was too shit a film to put too high. You know what
I mean? Here's what I like about this next choice. You've just seen Paul happy. Get ready get ready for it to jump down. My number six is a movie called Mile 22. Now, Paul hasn't said anything because he doesn't understand.
You are fucking moron.
That's right. Paul's
this movie is terrible. Have you watched it again yet?
I'm not.
No, please. Please watch it again.
But let me tell you, because here's the thing. It may have escaped your notice, people. This is not exactly like it set the world on fire, this movie. It's got Marky. Yeah, it's got Marky Mark in it. And it's about a small team of elite American intelligence officers, part of this top secret fucking tactical unit or some shit. And Mark Wahlberg is the head of it. He's aided by a top secret tactical command team, and he's got to retrieve the transport and transport an asset which holds this life-threatening information to mile 22 of the extraction point before the enemy closes in. That's why it's called mile 22. Now, overall, I think the movie is a pretty good action movie. All right?
Wrong!
And I will I will tell you this, all right? And I admit this to you, okay? Every of the police tactical characters have this really cool phone. In the movie, it's actually... No, listen up. It's a BlackBerry P9981 Porsche design, and it runs on, like... And it's in this sat sort of case thing, and it's green, and it lights up, and it's fucking cool. Now, I looked at that, and I went, let me look at that some more. And I actually quite enjoyed them using that thing, okay? So that was what got me in.
Wayne can neither confirm nor deny in the cinema at that point where we started jerking off.
I didn't jack off.
Just to help him through the rest of the film.
Google Mile 22 phone and look at how cool it looks. It's fucking beautiful, all right? But then on top of that, the Marky Mark character, right? He actually is... You know, in your typical movie like this, he makes decisions that gets his own team killed, right?
Because he's a sociopath.
Yeah, a little bit, all right? That's
he is.
Okay, he's a sociopath. He's a sociopath, right? But in
he's the guy I should support.
No.
Because he can do a jigsaw puzzle that's all white.
It's a movie. Was that in the film?
Yeah,
I can't remember. Okay. So what I liked about it, though, is that when some shit goes down, typically your movie will Top Gun it, where it gets the lead character to feel remorse, and then he gets back on his horse, and then it's ta-da. That didn't happen. This guy has no remorse. He just goes, boom, well, next time we'll get him, and that's when I'm going to get you. And he's still got gusto. I liked that about it. It was different to me.
And rather than let Iko Uwais do his thing as a wonderful martial artist and probably, if not the best,
he did some stuff.
Top three or four martial artists in film in the last 10 years.
Maybe.
Even his moves are edited to shit. This is a film where reversing up a driveway takes 19 shots. Iko Uwais doing one kick as he leans against a hospital gurney takes 4 edits.
Now, here's the
fuck
thing.
Fuck off.
I think I didn't mind it for some reason. God. Because it was kinetic. It was like, bang.
No, it's not kinetic. It's nausea-inducing.
Yeah, okay. See, that's the thing. I didn't see that, but you did. And I remember you said that. And I was like, what the fuck? I didn't notice that. So there you are. Just one of those things, folks. Like, we don't see eye to eye a lot, but... Okay, up to
really,
you,
it's going to come down to Gary Busey here.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit! I was taking shrapnel and caisson while you were crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face!
Okay, see, what it's going to come down to is you understanding brevity. It's the soul of wit.
All right, well, my number five. Ah, here's another one. Here's another one we have vehemently disagreed about.
Yeah, there's a lot of you. I thought there wouldn't be many, but fuck me.
On the show. In fact... My next three, four of my top five we've disagreed about on the show.
Oh, good.
Okay. And this one, again, would be higher if it were a better film. I like the film. I like it a lot. I was really entertained. I bought it on 4K. I've rewatched it since. Holds up. Great cast. Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Vincent D'Onofrio, Ethan Hawke, among many others.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about the remake of The Magnificent Seven.
Oh! This should have been your number one. All right? This is a piece of shit.
If it was as good a film as my top four, it would be my number one.
Oh, my God. It's such a piece of shit. This movie, we went to the cinema for this shit, right? Because it was advanced screening.
You saw the advanced screening. Oh, yeah, I saw it. I saw it myself.
I don't know what happened with your screening. Maybe there was like laughing gas they put in there. Something to make you happy, all right? Because fuck me. This movie is a piece of shit. Not only is every of the seven fucking... Denzel here. Fucking, you know, Star-Lord. All these people, all right? Why does Paul like this? There's actually a scene in this movie where this entire town is being set upon by a Gatling gun that the army has.
Yep.
And for some reason, this is like fucking the Robin Hood crossbow, right? This Gatling gun can fucking level everyone in the town except where conveniently the heroes can jump behind something.
At least it's a gun.
So shit.
Unlike the Robin Hood fucking bow and arrows.
That gun made in the fucking Wild West, right?
You're talking about the 1300s, dickhead. Don't compare.
But this one isn't supposed to be kind of comedic. No. That's this one's supposed to be.
This one's in the 1800s.
Yeah, but this is played. This is played for like actual straight. At least Robin Hood's kind of a joke.
Nope.
Oh, come on, man.
That whole film was played dead straight.
All right.
You idiot. That is a bad comparison to make.
It's shit. This movie sucks.
I love films where disparate characters come together against the odds to defend. Obviously, the original Magnificent Seven.
No, you don't. You like movies where everything dies.
No. against the odds, and enough of them die in this film to satisfy that.
I can't remember because
one
I was like,
notable death, which I won't mention for spoilers.
Good, because I can't remember.
The original Menace to Heaven is one of the all time great classic films.
Yeah, you got some Yul Brynner there. Yep. See, that's some.
And
different
you
shit.
Just dislike this film because it's Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah,
you can't get past your
you're
Fuqua.
Right, I forgot that it was, but Fuqua, that guy. So it's like, yes, I remember. Yeah, that guy hasn't
where
done.
Where is your honor, dirtbag?
Seriously,
you are an absolute disgrace.
That guy is a one and done director. It's Training Day and a piece of shit forever. Just shit and shit and shit and balls and shit and the fucking Equalizer.
Yeah, I will agree. The Equalizer is not a great film.
Piece of shit.
And The Equalizer 2 is even worse.
All balls. All balls.
That is a terrible film. No question. But this film is fun. It's entertaining. It's engaging. I enjoyed it on my second watch. I'll watch it again fucking tonight just to spite you. Fuck you.
You know what? Do it, right? And as you do, I'll shit in your litter box outside. I don't care.
Just trying to work out how that would happen.
Next day, he's like, what the fuck is this?
Given that my letterbox is like a square pillar one. I don't know how you get your ass up there and punching it outside. Anyway, let's move on.
I'll bring a ladder and I'll slide it through the slot. All right.
Over to you.
Okay, my number five is a movie, and Paul's just straight up wrong about this one. Don't even worry about it, okay? It's a Netflix film called Extraction. Oh, man. Yo. So sorry.
This film's fine. To be clear, I gave this 3 stars. I don't hate it. I just don't suck its dick because it's Chris Hemsworth like you do.
Its dick requires a lot of sucking, man. This is so Thor plays Tyler Rake, a fearless black market mercenary. He's also a broken man. He got nothing to lose. Embarks on some deadly ass extraction of this young kid who's caught up in all the drug war shit in Bangladesh. And he rescues the kidnapped son, kind of finds his redemption in that. Now, that's the plot, basically. However,
that is the whole plot.
That is the whole plot. Now, this movie here has got like motherfucking sweet, sweet, sweet long shots, which Paul did like, he did say.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Hence 3 stars.
Good. But more than that, this is a better version of John Wick. Is
you
how
are.
This works. It's a better version. The action in this
you're
way.
A cunt.
Bitch, please.
You're a cunt
kiss
now.
My
you've always been
ass,
a cunt.
All the asses.
And the only
and also, if you see
a
dick outside,
a
eat that dick.
Would you want me to hit that one again?
Eat some dicks. Eat all the dicks, motherfucker. All right. The action where it's shot in here is better than the John Wick stuff.
No, the one shot is excellent. Full credit. That's the best action shot if you want to compare the two shots.
11 minutes and 29
the
seconds.
The entire world of John Wick, as well as multitudes of action sequences, are thrilling and entertaining. This film has one. It's a one-trick fucking pony.
No,
with one of the worst fucking endings to an action film that I can recall.
Now, let's talk about the real problem Paul had. Yes. Paul thinks it had a slight bitch out moment at the end.
Slight?
Paul thinks it bitched out completely at the end. I say it gave you a moment you needed to make this movie more fun for you. Oh, yeah. So, but other than that, look, it's.
Wayne's also a 12 century motherfucker. Still, he's long.
I recently recommended this to a person, and they said, nice work. Just great, nice work. Because they were looking for a Netflix thing. I said, just watch this. I know it's a lot of action, but give it a try. All good.
Yeah,
so
if your expectations are in the toilet.
Oh, bitch, please.
That'll
so,
help.
Oh,
but
cracker,
I'm pretty
please.
Sure that when anyone gives you give anyone a recommendation, that's where their expectations are. This will be shit, but let's see.
Oh, bitch. Suck my balls. Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Your number what?
My number 4.
Go for it.
Here we go. Christopher Nolan, he's a pretty good director, isn't he?
Oh, shit, which is this one?
Dunkirk.
Fucking fuck Kirk!
I think this podcast is going off the rails.
It has gone off the rails. Now, everyone, Dunkirk starts with a man who really has to take a shit. I'm not kidding. That's actually how it starts. This dude has to take
it's
a
true.
Shit.
It's true.
And he has to walk along and he can't take a shit because he keeps it getting interrupted by the war.
Can you imagine that? That's a dilemma.
Look, don't get me wrong. It probably had the desired effect because I was like, man, I need to shit when I saw it.
Wayne, a man who I don't think has ever got through a full-length feature film without having to visit the toilet.
But usually for a piss.
Yeah, okay. Froken-juiced piss.
Oh, yeah. But please, Paul, go on about Dunflaps.
What I will acknowledge in my enjoyment of Dunkirk is it lacks the character side of things. So it's kind of like Tenet has a little bit more characterization, but not a lot.
Not a lot more.
Not a lot more.
Agreed.
But yet, you love Tenet, so I don't understand why you don't enjoy. I understand you don't love it. It's okay.
Yeah.
But you don't enjoy Dunkirk because it technically... It's a beautifully made film. Again, it messes with time in a really intriguing way. It's got a wonderful soundtrack from Hans Zimmer. And there are some really thrilling sequences. So what's your problem, motherfucker?
I think what I had a problem with was... because I'm... and to be fair, I've heard Quentin Tarantino string the praises of this movie. He reckons it's probably the best movie he's ever seen.
And wow, okay, that's a big call.
No, and he said that after watching Dunkirk, it affected how he works. It's like that's how much it affected him, right? So it's a good video online if you're on YouTube
there. Yeah, okay.
I suspect if I saw this again in the right frame of mind, I probably would like it more. I think what I was bugged at was the endless flying through the air with Tom Hardy. Was that right? That sort of bugged me a bit.
On no petrol, no fumes.
Yeah.
On fumes.
Yeah. And then, you know, and there was something about this movie which made me not love it. And it might have been the harshness of the landscape. It might have been the fact that it was long. It just wasn't Christopher Nolan for me.
Get over the penis envy.
I just don't think it was that. Like, Christopher Nolan, like Tenet, right? The reason I like that over this is that, like, it wasn't as good as Inception or anything like that, but it was so exciting to watch. This wasn't that. This is more, like you said, like, it's more like a...
Well, it's a slow build.
It's a slow build, yep. And I
mean, other than some sequences, like, you know, when they're being shot at in the hull of the boat and... You know.
It's just, yeah, I think his spy thrillers are his jam, his forte. It's like, this is his war thing, not as good. Okay. Yeah, again, I didn't hate it, I just didn't like it.
But again, it was a better film, hence it got up high on the list. But yeah, I could... Yeah. The ordering is irrelevant this way.
It isn't. It's just like us making jokes.
Yeah, we're trying to work it out. Yeah. All right, your four.
Okay, my number four is inexplicably something that Paul doesn't like. It's The Girl on the Train. Now, yeah. I don't know how you felt about this, because it was definitely a drama, and it was definitely...
I'm not as upset about this one as I was by some other ones. So again, I think the ordering was kind of out of whack a bit. But
it's a girly novel. But basically, The Girl on the Train is a story of Rachel Watson, her life post-divorce. Every day she takes this train from New York, and she passes by her old house, and it's the house she lived in with her husband. The guy, he still lives there with his new wife, who's hot. And then she attempts not to focus on the pain. She starts watching a couple who live a few houses down, creates this wonderful world in her head about this couple, but then the girl goes missing.
Am I wrong in saying this Rebecca Ferguson's in this movie?
Yes, indeed. And right. Don't get me wrong.
And, of course, The Girl on the Train being Emily Blunt. So right here you see Wayne's love of the film.
Look, there's no, it's not news that I think Rebecca Ferguson is the world's most attractive woman. But apart from all of that, this movie itself, I think, is one of those deals where I shouldn't have been so on board with the film.
No, you shouldn't.
But no, because it's the type of drama that's typically sort of like, it looks like a, I don't know, it's one of those, you know, a very popular novel that became a movie. Yep. It's that, you know, like the girl with this dragon tattoo or something like that. It, however, did enthrall me the whole time. And for some reason, I bought in with every character and just loved each choice they made. I think some people said that Emily Blunt was too attractive to be the drunken woman on the train as opposed to how she was in the novel. But come on, people, it's a movie. I just really liked it all the way through. Paul, what, you just kind of...
I hated this film.
Yeah, you hated it.
It was boring. It was trite. The identity of the murderer is so blatantly fucking...
Do you know what? I've actually
me.
Forgotten it, but I just remember how much I like the film.
Oh,
so I'm going to watch it.
It didn't help, and I will acknowledge, if you go back to listen to this review, which we did do on the show early on, obviously, in the day, I was sitting next to some fat dude who was fucking eating the whole way through the film and fucking, taking up the armrest.
So he should be killed.
Yeah.
You should kill him.
Yeah, he's got no conscience.
Someone kill that fat fuck, all right? Yeah. He'd probably kill himself, right? But yeah.
He didn't help things, but even without his influence, this is not even a bog standard. It is an inferior thriller, which has got an artificial boost from the fans of the book and the fact that you have Rebecca Ferguson blindness.
I do. Now listen, if it wasn't for the fat guy next to you, and instead it was Rebecca Ferguson sitting next to you, you'd love this film. That's what I say.
Doubtful. Highly, highly doubtful.
I don't think so. Come on, man.
All right. My number three is perhaps the latest controversy on the show, and one which continues to, well, not just dog you, but destroy our ratings in New Zealand. It's Hunt for the Wilder People.
So this is
had a special shout out of fuck you from Sam Hurley.
I know, Sam's and, a New Zealand
on the Epic
National.
Film Guys recent review of Hunt for the Wilder People, where everyone just had a go at you for not liking it. So big shout out to Nick, Sam, and Liz, who was the co-host on that episode.
I'm fine with that, guys. I'm absolutely fine with that. Now, you know what happened with this film, okay? We got an advanced screening to this film way before, obviously, anyone knew what it was.
Wayne didn't go.
I did not go because I'm like, this
is... I did.
Yes, Paul did and said, this is a sleeper. This is a good one. This is ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, right?
Yep.
And, of course, most of the people...
Charming, entertaining, funny... Loses its way a little bit in the last 20 minutes.
I found that boy annoying until for the good first half of the movie, I'm like, shut the fuck up. And then the second half, he sort of, as he threw in, it became better. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's just not my jiggity jam, y'all. So these things happen, people.
Take it back!
What are you going to do?
You can see Wayne's not as passionate as he has been about some of the others. So
Taika Waititi's stuff, apart from Thor Ragnarok, which I adore, his stuff is like, it's like slightly too harsh to be funny and slightly too funny for me to take it seriously occasionally.
Yeah, I would agree with that on in What's something that? Like Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit, yeah. I'm like, ugh, not quite sure how to
feel. But this one I think is okay. This one I think does it all right.
Yeah, look.
Actually, better than all right. I think one does it very, very well. It's one of the great comedies.
Oh, come on now. Dramedies. It's fine. In recent times. It's fine. Okay, I'll have you. Okay. Well, whatever. this definitely doesn't.
All right. You're number three, sir.
Yo, this one is not just a disagreement, but a travesty in my eyes. Paul, for some reason, doesn't like this film, and I would say this is probably the biggest sleeper of the last 5 years. The movie's called Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. Now, this... okay, Pop...
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Which is a little weird to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I like me some Lonely Island. Not everything, but certainly Jizz in My Pants. It's about this rapper superstar named Connor For Real, played by Andy Samberg. And he's got this new album, and it failed to sell records. So he goes into a tailspin, watches his celebrity high life begin to collapse, and he'll try anything to bounce back. Now, what probably nails this movie is that there's a lot of in-concert footage of him doing songs like Fuck Bin Laden and like just, it's really, really, and if you listen to the songs, they're great. The Fuck Bin Laden song is absolutely magical. You should definitely look it up on the YouTubes. This movie is actually a takeoff of the Justin Bieber documentary called Never Say Never, right? And it actually nails that particularly. Even if you haven't seen that, the way the movie feels and the way it's put together, I absolutely adore it. It's actually so good that it's comforting to me.
First of all, I'll acknowledge, I think most people like this film. So you're in the vast majority.
I don't think it did very well.
Well, it didn't, but I think it's become a bit of a sleeper cult hit. So it didn't make a lot of money at all when it came out, but it's garnered its audience, as some films do once they've gone out of cinemas and it's available to download and stream. That said, the first 20 minutes of this film are genuinely funny, and then the joke was so fucking thin, I could barely stand it.
For me, it nailed the whole time. And the cameos in this thing, really, I think they're like well-treated. There's a ton of cameos, and they're good. So, I don't know.
I watched this one with my fiancée, and she agreed with me. She was like, why is Wayne so high on this film?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Asian. I thought she'd dig me. Oh, well, what are you going to do? at least agree with me on some level. Shit. So...
Inconceivable.
Yeah, I will always tell you that if you have any, even a remote liking for any kind of musical type show, this is there, man. This is the best version of that because it's not a musical. It's featuring music. Very different, very funny.
No, if it's a musical, I would just shit on it in a natural kind of way. All right, my number two. I don't think you hate this movie, but the fact that you and Epic Film Guy Nick are in a camp, a very small camp on the outskirts of good taste.
Oh, here we are.
Called Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, not the camp. The camp's called... No Snowpiercer, but I'm talking about the film Snowpiercer.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Snowpiercer. Now, Chris Penn, sorry, Pine, no koi, Evans. Captain America is in this movie. And.
Surprised you didn't throw in Hemsworth.
I really should have. I mean, I also put Chris Penn in there.
Chris Penn.
Not exactly the hottest Chris in Hollywood.
He's been dead in the ground for many years.
He has. Yeah. Hey, I pushed in. You know what? Paul is a big fan of the director of this film. In fact, I often call him a bit of a Bong Joon-ho.
The moment where Wayne choked to death. Podcaster dies.
Oh, yeah.
In Perth. Oh, great. In the midst of what he believed was a very funny joke. Ironically, the joke was on him.
Well, okay. So Bong Joon-ho, all the ho for ho. Now, I think what happened about this movie is that I understand where you're coming from, Prizula. I know that the idea of a train that's going around the world in a post-apocalyptic fucking snow thing and has carriages that actually go up and down with classes of people is interesting.
Towards the back, the lower the classes.
That's right. And of course, Captain America is in the last carriage, and then he fights his way to the front with all cool and different shit happening. However, I think it bummed me out because they ate babies, Paul. They ate babies because they were so fucked up in the back, and it really shat with me a bit for some reason. Now, I also think it went a bit fucking long.
That's 2 hours and 7 minutes.
That's fucking 2 hours, bitch! Plus. So, that's long. And I can't remember what happened at the end when he finally got to, I presume, the front carriage.
Right. Well, at that point, we can stop paying attention to Wayne. and we can move on.
But that's what I remember about this. So there you are, poor Lexus.
Whereas I think this is an incredibly stylish, well put together. Yes, you have to get on board with the central conceit that a plane. Wasn't even deliberate.
There you go.
A train can circumnavigate the world on this
I'm
track.
I'm fine with that.
And it not freeze up and not shit go wrong with the track. And yes, that's a huge suspension of disbelief. I hear you,
I'm
Nick.
I'm actually fine with that.
I hear you, Nick. That was a reference to Epic Film Guy, Nick. However, once you get past that point, I think this one's magnificent. I think it's entertaining. I think it's thrilling. I think the action sequences are cool. The violence is on point. The characters and what they're doing and the decisions they make all work.
Mm.
And I want the insurrection. I want the coup, the uprising, the rebellion to work. And that's the most important thing about this movie. If you're on, again, sorry to use that word again, that term again. If you're on board with them, if you're right behind them, then this film is really powerful. And yeah, when they find out that they've been eating fucking babies, that's horrifying. But it further propels them.
Yeah, yeah. It just bummed me out. Now, let me ask you, did you watch the series?
Yeah, all of it.
All of it?
Yep.
And your thoughts?
We reviewed the first episode, or maybe the first two.
First couple, yeah.
It was good.
It was good, right?
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. I don't think it's as good as a film, but then I'd probably never going to suggest that a 10-episode series is as good as a 2-hour film. Like, I just think the creative decisions you have to make to keep it to a 2 hours.
And they
hours.
Changed a lot of shit as well.
They changed a heap of shit on that, as we talked about on that review. So go back and check that out. So yeah, there you go. That's my number two.
Very
in
nice.
Sense that Wayne can't get behind this as being a good film.
Maybe one day I'll see it again. Don't think so though. My number two is, we're going to go back to our youth on this one, people. This one, the reason this one's so high is because it really it was the first time I got daggers shot into my side of my head by a Paul Prezula. Okay. All right. So here's what happens. The movie's Father of the Bride. Okay, now here's some extenuating for circumstances for this shit, all right? We went to the movies, and I can't remember why, but for some reason, the movie we wanted to see, and I can't remember what it was not playing, or it was too long to wait, or something happened. And the only real...
It was probably something amazing from like 1990, or 1991, is that what
Father
of the Bride
is? Yeah, it was early 90s, man.
Probably something incredible, I don't know. Songs of Lambs.
Yeah, something like that, okay? What? Anyway, but for one reason or another, we had nothing to do or we had time to kill, and this is the only movie we could see. And I said, yo, I love Steve Martin. I've always loved Steve Martin, okay? I'm like, let's go check this out. And it's a PG, so I knew I was behind the eight ball. I knew there was going to be a problem. And by the way, this movie is a remake of a Spencer Tracy movie. And it's about George Banks, Steve Martin. He's an ordinary middle-class man whose 21-year-old daughter has decided to marry a man from a well-to-do family. But the Steve Martin character can't think of what life would be like without his little daughter. He becomes slightly insane, but his wife tries to make him happy for Annie. And then finally, he has this wedding that he has to put together at their home. And Martin Short's in it.
And there's where you start to lose
I know. Franck is the name of the Martin Short's character. He's actually quite funny. But again, that was back in the day.
Eat my ass! Eat all the S's, man! All right,
so
about as funny as that.
Bitch, please. So no, motherfucker! Bitch, you're such an asshole. All right, so... This actually presents the difference between Paul and I at a young age. I liked a nice grown-up comedy, and the result I thought was good. Paul unfortunately thought I was gay.
No. So
looking at that, he's like, this guy's a fucking Nancy.
Yeah, that's a better word to use.
Okay, but at the time, it was the 90s, you could say that and mean that. So I know it's wrong. Anyway, but Paul actually threw the movie, and this was quite stressful for me. I'm laughing at the little gags in the movie, and I can feel I can hear Paul's head turning slowly towards me and grimacing, and it was quite stressful. So anyway, that's what happened. Paul hated this, by circumstance almost, but it is something that stays with me even today, people. Stays with me.
Yeah, I'm not defending it.
Maybe the reason I'm an entertainer's type personality. So
I do remember not enjoying my time here and being very annoyed at Wayne for dragging me to this film. So he's 100% correct in that regard. All right, let's run back through the list here. Number 10 for me, Us. 9, Bad Times at the El Royale. Remember, these are all films that I love that my co-host hates.
Good.
8, The Irishman. Shit. 7, Defy Bloods.
Balls.
6, Shoot 'Em Up.
Flaps.
5, The Magnificent 7.
Ass.
Wayne's favorite film of all time. 4, Dunkirk. 3, Kurt. Hunt for the Wounded People.
Balls.
2, Snowpiercer. And number 1, with a bullet.
Oh yeah.
No pun intended. Is John Wick Chapter 2.
What a piece of shit this film was. All right, everyone.
How dare you?
Here's what happens, people. You go from John Wick 1, where someone murders his puppy and that person should be disemboweled slowly. And then this movie, someone stole his car. Someone stole his fucking car. That's the whole movie.
He's still on the rampage.
Yeah, he's on the rampage, but it's about his fucking car. This car isn't even that good.
You can't stop an avalanche once it starts downhill, motherfucker.
Bitch, you can stop the shit out of it if it's a crappy car avalanche. You know what? Let's just not do that.
Crappy car avalanche.
It's a good. This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here.
Bitch,
all right? So check it. The movie is about him. He's pissed because people stole his car and he wants to get his car back. That's the whole fucking movie. Now, in the process of getting his car, he fucks up the car a bit. It's not even worth shit
the
anymore.
The car gets stolen the first one along with the kill with the dog.
Yeah, but then you're still like, the car's not even good enough to fuck it.
It's continuation thereof.
Yeah, but...
you're misremembering it.
Can we all agree this is the worst of the three?
Probably.
Yeah, so it's not actually that good. And this
worst of the three in the best action trilogy of all time.
Now, what? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Fuck off.
I said it before on the show and I'll say it again now.
Oh, what a cunt. All right. So, all right. Well,
this is so much better than Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom. I can barely speak.
I'd call that action adventure, but all right, fine.
Yeah, but as an example of the only other comparison I can think of that all three films are good.
Well, look at me here, though, right? This is the actual movie where I started to notice the problem. That his moves in taking out dudes were repetitive. It was always block, block, tap, tap, throw him around, flip around, do this, then blow his head off. And every single time he did that, in
not
succession.
Every single time.
Seriously?
It was
seems
a
like
common
every,
move. It was,
I would say
I'll
98%
agree.
Of the moves were no. like this, man. 98,
no.
son. So that's...
No.
This is... Your action choreography is good, but only when you do it in a way that is not repetitive, which this did do. So there you
all
are.
Right, well, I think we've all agreed Wayne's talked enough. Now I'm going to talk. What you hear in the background is a really shitty attempt to influence this show. Anyway, point being, great middle part of the trilogy. It's not as good as the other two, we'll agree. And the third one, I hope you will agree, they corrected and had him do lots of weird
great.
And different shit.
Third one, great. Third one, great.
Thank God, which saves this podcast from imploding on itself.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But I really thoroughly enjoyed this film. I think it was in my top five or six of the year it came out. I was so excited when it finally came out. Because remember, we had 4 month delay when it was released in the States. It was already out to virtually download the day that we saw the advanced screening. Do you remember that whole fucking controversy?
Yeah.
Well, it came out 4 months later, and like 2 days after we saw it, it came out to download.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Ridiculous. All right, that's my number one, John Wick Chapter 2. Wayne, give us your recount, and then your number one.
Cool, get ready with the...
Yeah, oh, I'm ready.
Here we go. Not a soundboard thing, just say shit, okay? Let's keep it clean, Paulie. What a bitch.
Whatever.
Fuck you. Number 10, Baywatch. Number 9, Ad Astra. 8, Passengers. Someone couldn't be fucked using a different sound. 7, Robin Hood. Yeah, see, I knew you would do that. I knew you would go with that. 6, Mile 22. Hey! 5, Extraction. Bitch, please. 4, The Girl on the Train. What a bitch. Doesn't even fuck anymore. 3, Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. Hey! And number 2 was Father of the Bride.
Eat my ass! Eat all the asses, man.
Gotta clean that one up. Janae's laughing all the way through it.
Sounds like it's great.
Okay. My number one is a movie that everyone doesn't understand. Everyone, not just Paul, but everyone. The movie is Van Helsing.
Oh my God.
Now, before I tell you why I like this film.
I changed my mind. We're voting this week.
Van Helsing, it's got Hugh Jackman in it, and of course, Kate Beckinsale, and then some other people, right? And like, he's basically...
some other people. No, because the film would have been better if it was just them two, trust me.
Well... look, the movie's great, okay? It's about Van Helsing. He's in the world to rid all evil, including, like, you know, Dr. Jekyll and shit like that. And he gets sent to Transylvania. He has to stop the powerful Count Dracula. And he joins forces with this chick. And, like, it's really, really cool. But more importantly, look, you look at this movie now, you look at the special effects, and you're like, ugh, you know, maybe it needed some work. But at the
word
time,
to the wise, if you look at it then... You watch
no,
that movie
it was
and
fine.
Look at the special effects,
back then it was fine. Ugh. That Ranga from the Guy Ritchie film, he was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
No.
Yeah, it was him. He was the Ranga dude, yeah.
No, aren't you thinking of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Maybe. No, I don't know that I... Yeah, I could be. I think I am. Anyway, never mind.
Dynamite drop-in money at broadcast school is really paid off.
Well, this is the thing. I suspect that Paul Prezula does not like Gatling crossbows. I think he's got a problem with them. Because Hugh Jackman's got a wicked one in this. And it literally goes and fucking hammers all this shit, right? Also, he has this wicked grappling hook. Now, it's so fucking Hammer Time.
Oh, there we get the Batman
crossover.
He fires
it across mountains, like vast mountains, like the Alps, not a hill. Mountains. Boom! Takes motherfuckers
did
out.
Did Stephen Summers direct anything after this movie?
I don't know,
or did
man.
He just go like, you know what? After The Mummy, I should have quit.
I'll be
ahead.
Honest with you. There's a chance he went to movie jail after this one.
I can't imagine why.
That's why I say a lot of people hate this film, but I really, really liked it, man. Sorry. And I've watched it like
what?
Three times.
No.
He went to movie jail?
I'm just saying. I don't know what else he did after this, and I don't know if any other
nothing
studios
of consequence.
Dude, I still like this rule.
It might as well be called Summer Stephen Winters.
I've got... You're a bitch. That was shit. That was shit. by the way, Paul, I think it was you next to me, or it could have been another guy, but when Kate Beckinsale appears in the movie, she turns around with her lace bodices and whatnot, and that person said, "She's tight, man." So
that does reflect my thoughts on Kate Beckinsale.
Fair enough. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. Everyone should check out her Instagram. It's fucking fabulous. Anyway, there you are. Van Helsing, people. My number one.
What a perfect
word
note to end
up.
The top 10 films I love that my co-host hated on. I don't think we should even do honorable mentions.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because it doesn't get any worse than that. Oh, yeah, you want to go on, just mention them.
Fine. Arrival, American Assassin, Ford v Ferrari.
American Assassin, piece of shit.
That was good.
Ford
show,
v Ferrari got 3 stars, so it's fine.
Yeah, American Assassin's great, man. And the Cloverfield Paradox, I can't remember.
No, I hated that movie.
You hated it? Okay, there you go. That's that.
I think I did take that off the list that you sent me. No, that one I fucking hate.
Word, it's done.
All I had as honorable mentions to mention them as well. Predator.
Fuck! How did you not mention that one? That movie sucked, and Paul was so making apologies for it.
I was like, yeah, but I'm 3 stars on it. Like, I'm not, like, my apologies were compared to your, like,
yeah, I just went, this is shit. Yeah, fair
and right. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Nice one.
All right, that's our thoughts. What about yours? As I mentioned, we got a bit of an epic recount, not recount, what do you call it? Oh, yeah, this thing.
Talk about. Button. Talk about. Button.
Off this week's Pop 10, the Long Story Short podcast said, "I love Midsommar and Jay could not stand it."
Is this a polarizing film to your knowledge, Paul?
It absolutely is a polarizing film, so it makes sense. Rob Marland said, "I do a podcast with my mum. Hashtag my mum has seen. I enjoyed Uncut Gems, but mum said, there's a lot of shouting. That's what this film is about. I don't know if everyone thought this was one of Adam Sandler's best films, but I thought it was pretty shit."
Really?
She doesn't mince her words.
Evidently.
That's good. I like that one. So what happens next? Much to my chagrin, big photo of the Blues Brothers.
Oh.
Ooh, that's controversial.
Do you know what?
Do you reckon it's a time thing?
Yes, because I saw it as a kid, and even then I was like, it's funny that this car backflipped over a bridge. Like, I didn't really understand it, but we just liked the music. That's what it was.
Music certainly helps.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But if you saw it now, you'd be like, what the fuck? Yeah, I get it.
If you weren't on board with it, but I think by the time the crazy car stunts and shit happen, you're on board with the film.
You are, but then you got to like yourself some Motown for this show, you know what I mean? Like, it's a real... I get it.
Yeah, Minnie the Moocher would agree. Doug and Ellie watch telly. I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but Doug has strong opinions to the contrary.
Really?
Oh, and then Doug fired back with, "I have many opinions on John Hughes' canon generally, but especially this item."
Really?
Whoa, Doug does not like the John Hughes.
Even Ferris, that was the best one.
By a million trillion miles. I'm with Ellie on that one. Of course, our good mate Hendo from the Movie Journey podcast said about his co-host Dean, Hendo loves Rocky, Dean hates it. Dean loves Mr. Destiny. Hendo hates it.
Are you talking about John Belushi?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, James Belushi.
Yes, that's more like
James
Belushi.
I actually don't mind it either, I think. I think I don't mind it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say you love it.
No, not against Rocky. Yeah.
And Movie Reviews and 20Qs, again, good mate Sam Hurley from that show. I could go on for hours. The one that is probably highest in my top 100 is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Stacey made it half an hour in, said it was rubbish, and now refuses to watch it.
It's Raiders?
Fart in your general direction.
Now, Stacey, that's it. You.
This is his good woman?
Yes, it's his wife.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. I've heard
what I wanted to hit was, oh, there, but it was on a different screen.
Just on that note, have you ever, like, let's say that you're in a new relationship with a girl, you want to show her some of your favorite movies, and then you do that, and then she starts talking through it, like she's just, or she's fucking around with her phone or something, and you have this stress next to you going, she's missing this part, she needs to watch
stress,
this part.
You just dump her.
Good point. I don't know what I was thinking. He's harsh, people. He's harsh.
This is still any good pod? Foot Rot Flats, The Dog's Tale.
Great show.
Rob Kiwi loves it. Chris, not Kiwi, would rather sandpaper his own privates than have to watch it again.
Yeah, that is how that goes.
Gidget on the Roof from the Retro Cinema Podcast. Good friend of the show. I love Fatal Attraction. Her co-host Angry does not. Mm. Angry loves Krull. I do not.
Oh, wow. I'm with Gidget on that one. Sorry.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Rewatch Krull early on in the show's history.
Yeah.
Big piece of shit as an adult. Wonderful as a kid. I'm not sure Angry's rewatched it in that time. Then from the So Is a Podcast, Aubrey from that show. We normally feature Joey, who is the Twitter master there, but he put it out there. Aubrey said, Marky Mark will choose Xanadu as a film he loves that they all hate.
Oh.
She chooses Wonder Woman. No one else on that show loves Wonder Woman.
Is that so?
Yeah, that's a bit rough.
And Xanadu has got a great soundtrack.
Xanadu, that is all that Xanadu has going for it, let's be honest.
I would agree.
Oh, and Olivia Newton-John looking very, very fine.
She's fine.
Drew from the Real Feels podcast said, I honestly have some guilty pleasure love for Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Oh, really?
Jack and Nathan give me shit for it. Lol.
If you like Paul Blart Mall Cop, check out Observe and Report with Seth Rogen. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually
very
hard
similar.
Funny Mike Judge movie, yeah. Mm,
but yeah, harsher, right?
Harsher.
Julio for the Contrarians, patron to the show, good friend. Do check out the Contrarians. Just recently, Contrarian Alex broke my heart with his reaction to Alien Resurrection. Might have been payback for my reaction to his beloved Hangover 3. Whoa!
So hang on. Whoa. Alien Resurrection. I actually didn't mind that.
I'm there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I'm an alien apologist. I like Alien Resurrection. Yeah. I understand people don't like it.
The ending was weird with the stupid alien baby.
The newborn was terrible.
Yeah, that was weird.
But Alex likes... The real takeaway here is Alex likes Hangover 3.
Hangover 3 sucks.
Da fuck.
You know what? I only remember how much I don't like it. I remember
that film is so bad. If you need any further than to prove it. Because
the first one was good.
Giraffe in a convertible bridge.
Yep.
That's all I'll say.
Exactly.
That film is fucking garbage. sorry, Alex. Not that you listen, but Julio telling me said that. Chris McBrien said, I love the movie Ishtar. My co-host Derek hates it. Although, to be fair, pretty much everyone else hates it too.
Yeah, that was panned everywhere.
Yep. Are you an Ishtar fan?
I can't remember. I remember seeing the Dustin Hoffman, Warren Beatty. That's I can't remember having watched it. But I remember knowing about it, so I must have seen it.
Shoot the Flick said, for Scott, he hates Moulin Rouge, and I love it. And for me, I'm not a fan of Predator, while Scott loves Arnold Cheese.
Ooh, oh.
Well, evidently, I agree with Scott.
Yeah. Just like, even I must say, Moulin Rouge, I expected to like it, didn't really.
Okay. This week today, Adam loves The Mummy, and I, Toph, hate anything that Brendan Fraser is in. Whoa. Damn.
Really? Yeah. Ooh. What about that Liz Hurley one? That was a good movie.
Bedazzled?
Man. Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. Liz Hurley. So.
What, you didn't mind Liz Hurley or didn't mind the movie?
Didn't mind the movie. Didn't mind the movie at all.
Hot damn!
You really love Bedazzled?
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good comic. It's a good comedy. I definitely. And Liz Hurley, where's this dress in it? Right?
Oh, there's no doubt Liz Hurley was a sensationally attractive
woman. It's split up to her navel, but just look at the way it's done.
Not watching this movie.
It's fabulous.
Find me a picture.
Fine.
From the Pop Prism Power podcast, I love Her, the Spike Jonze movie, but my co-host disliked it so much she couldn't finish it. So I liked it too, and I recommended you should watch it.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't, so just keep that in mind.
Give it a try.
Defining Disney podcast, you'll love this one. Nicole hates The Princess Bride, while Carolyn will quote it backwards and forwards, and Carolyn can't stand scary movies in one like Aliens. One of Nicole's all-time favorites. But somehow we still managed to be best friends.
You know what happened? Paul did this, everyone. Paul used to quote The Princess Bride and everyone hated life and him. so if the other person didn't quote it, you'd like it. I'm saying. That's how that movie is. I'm saying.
We're right there, though, with you, Carolyn, because I'm assuming that was Carolyn who wrote that, because Wayne and I still maintain best friends despite this podcast and all the years of it. Jay Ledbetter from the In Session Film podcast said, Ryan and I reviewed Shortcuts earlier this year. It immediately became one of my favorite films ever. Ryan thinks it is all the way bad because he isn't as smart or cool as I am.
The Robert Altman?
Yeah.
He's an acquired taste, Robert Altman.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
You have to like titties. You do. He always puts titties in his show. He's a titty director. I'm just saying.
Too many lines that are inappropriate will get me in trouble. I love this You Should Too podcast said, since that's pretty much what our podcast is all about, i.e. this question.
Sure.
There are quite a few, but Gone with the Wind and City of God were the two that we were the furthest apart on.
City of God's amazing. I can't claim to have seen all of
I've Gone seen with Gone the with the Wind, but not in one city. Because it's hours. 93 hours
yeah,
long.
Yeah, it's so long.
Go Watch a Movie podcast. Good friends of the show said, I like this a lot. The Hitman's Bodyguard. Robert seems to hate it.
I love that movie.
I knew you'd have a reaction to that one.
Absolutely.
Here is possibly the most contentious of them all.
Hmm?
Movie Date Night podcast.
Go on.
Oh God, so many ... How about the entire James Bond series?
Oh, come on now. At least give me the Craig ones, man. Shit.
And finally, from Brad from the Cinema Guys podcast, my co-host teased me about my love for this franchise, not the original film, Resident Evil.
One and two, fantastic. Not sure what happened after that. It just turned to shit.
One.
Two is great.
Two is terrible. And everything after that is should be put in a bonfire, all copies of it, including digital, and set on fire and never will trouble the world ever again.
Two has this actress named Sienna Guillory. You should really check it out. It's fantastic.
If you've learned nothing more than today, you probably learned Wayne's taste in women. Thank you so much for joining us. That is it for episode 289, the top 10 films I love. My co-host, Eight. Wayne, how do the folk give us some feedback on the show or indeed contribute to the topics at hand?
Find our socials by Googling The Countdown Podcast or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. Like and follow the show on podbean.com or via the Podbean app. Check out the Facebook listener community, which is where we do most of our interacting with listeners and fans of the show. And finally, ccradio.com.au for ourselves and some other awesome Aussie podcasts. And Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 290? Does he remember? I said it about an hour and 18 minutes ago.
I think we're doing some horror shit.
Yes, for hashtag all the horror.
Right, so Paul has arranged for us to have a guest.
Sean, from the story of Your and Yours podcast, sorry Sean, is joining us, who has quite possibly the sexiest voice ever known to humankind. Now, I know it's a big promise, but I want you to tune in next week just so you can hear his voice. Or just, you know what, check out his show.
I can't wait.
And it's a little intimidating because for a long time, I've been accused of having the sexy voice.
Oh, yeah. You're the one with the silky, silky tone.
You've got the accent, which has all the girls, you know.
No, the girls don't like me at all.
Absolutely not true if you look at the voting block in the Facebook listening community. But Sean is about to blow you all away. So check out his show as a preview. And then when you get the contrast between his beautiful, beautiful dulcet tones. And our raggy, raspy
shit.
Then you're all going to know about it. And we're going to be doing the top 10 films of the undead for hashtag all the horror, which is a great initiative, which was put together by a bunch of podcasters, including Invasion of the Remake podcast. Mm-hmm. So one episode a month from a whole bunch of different shows, just all coming together to celebrate horror in the lead up to Halloween. And we'll be putting our episode out next week for that purpose. Very excited about that. Very pleased to be part of it. Hashtag all the horror. Check out all the other great episodes there as well. And that's it for episode 289. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And without a doubt, there is no question at all, my list clearly...
Yeah! It's for everyone.
Your list. No time to talk to that. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye. What the fuck is that? Hey, you know what we forgot to do?
What's that?
We forgot to credit the man who gave us the idea for today's episode.
Oh, yes.
It was Julio from the Contrarians podcast. So another plug for him. We mentioned him a little earlier in the show. Head over, check out the Contrarians and say thank you for suggesting this one. I think we've agreed the top 10 films I love, but my co-host hates.
Shout out for Julio. Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Word.
What are you doing? K-I-S-S-I-N-G?
So Paul Simons.
Given Julio's fascination for butt play. I mean, sorry, that sounds wrong. He keeps asking us about butt play.
Really?
Check out the Patreon feed. All right, that's it. Catch you later.
See you.